In statistics, you know, you cannot see everything, you know, it's yeah. Like Igor Kokoschko said, it's like a bikini, you know, you see it a lot, but the most important parts you cannot see. My roles here and in the national team are like not really the same. In national team, I'm just like coming in to, you know, be tough, to hit somebody. A lot of people say, oh, you're playing in Japan, they're all short. Yeah, but foreign guys are not short, they're also big and fighting with me. So for me, that's change nothing.
But do you see yourself as a coach?
I don't know. Sometimes yes, sometimes no, because sometimes I would not have like nerves to for some players. Maybe I would just get mad too much. I don't know.
Hello, Žiga. Big thanks for joining my podcast. It's a great pleasure to host you, and it's a great pleasure to see you again in Poland.
Hello. Nice to be here. I'm happy to be in your podcast. So.
I was wondering, before you start, I said to you that I wasn't expecting to interview you because I wasn't expecting you to see you again in Poland and in Anvil. So what's happened that you decided to came back to Poland and to Anvil?
I don't know, just like during the season, opportunity came, you know, so that something, you know, changed, you know, like during the season, like my my old club, I was playing before that, so yeah, I was looking for new club, and then Anvil showed interest, and I said, yeah, okay, I've been here, I like it here, you know, it's very nice here, so okay, that's why.
That's many things changed since your first part in first stint in Anvil, because there is the same coach, the same players, but I wanted to, do you see a big difference?
I think it pretty much it's a lot of things is still the same. I know they're same coaches, same coaching staff, same coach. The look is still here, except now he's like Polish, so that's a little bit different. Here still Boyo is here, and a lot of guys are here, and I think it's the same still.
And when it comes to the league, because when you was the first time here, you said in a lot of interviews that this is a very physical league, and you didn't expect that there is a high tolerance for a contact, you said. And I'm wondering, do you, after your experience in Turkey or in Japan, do you still confirm this?
Yeah, it's a tough league, but also I figured out that now in Turkey or in Japan, there is also a lot of contact. So yes, but still, here is one of the most physical game, and I got used to it. So yeah, I think it's gonna be great for me.
When I was preparing for interview, the first thing when it comes to my mind when I look at your birth town, Celje, is that this is a town known for handball and football. But why you didn't land it in football or handball, and we see you now in the court, basketball court?
Yeah, Celje, it's known for mostly from handball, yeah, and also football. They have basketball, but in second league. But I didn't actually. I play basketball in Laško, so it's known by basketball. I live 30 minutes away from the city, so I don't know. It just came up. I was but actually I was playing volleyball before I started basketball. So.
And does volleyball and ski jumping in Slovenia is really as popular as we in Poland expect? Because in Poland you have a success in volleyball, in ski jumping, and there's also in the same thing in Slovenia. And I'm wondering, is it really a popular sport there when it comes to the TV cover, the media visibility?
Yeah, the most popular, during the winter, is of course ski jumping and skiing in Slovenia, and also other sports. But the most covered are winter sports, ski jumping, during the winter now, and skiing, it's covered. But during national team games, they're covering everything. So also volleyball, but when they're playing domestic leagues, they don't cover really much about volleyball and stuff like that.
So is Andrzej Laniszek or Rok Mozic, Klemen Czebuj more popular than Žiga Dimec?
There's a top player, so yeah, probably, I don't know.
And when I was interviewing some guys from Slovenia, Bosjan Nahbar, your coach Aleksander Sekulic, I was always wondering, and also the volleyball guys Mozic, Czebuj, I was always thinking, why this such a small country produce so many athletes in so many sports? It's 2 million people?
2 million people.
And you know, when we think about Roglic in cycling and skiing and in football, two great goalkeepers, Oblak and Handanovic, and always like, okay, in basketball, we always losing to Slovenia. Then we always, now we losing in ski jumping. There was a time when we were losing to the in volleyball. So we were thinking, why this such a small country kick our ass? And when you think about it, what is the reason that you produce so much talent?
Oh, I don't know. I don't think anyone in Slovenia know why. But you know, I don't know, this was just, you know, I don't actually know. But when we were young, we just don't go there, practice a lot, you know, make sacrifices, and then you know. I don't know, maybe because it's so few people, so like you have a couple of you know, players or guys that are doing some sports, so you maybe more focus on them and to develop those players, you know.
Bokin Akbar said that it's hard to find somebody in Slovenia that sitting in us and watching TV, that everybody lost activity.
Yeah, but like also like me, during off days or when during summer, I like to go to hike, you know, to the mountains, to hike and go around. I don't want to be like home, especially if it's like sunny day, or also like going with kids, you know, to playground or do something and play with them. So maybe that's why also.
And are you able to completely reset from basketball during like off season?
Yeah, I usually do, like for at least like when I'm going to the vacation to the seaside or something. Yeah, I don't want to think about basketball because I'm doing basketball like for during the season, and after season there are also like a lot of like European Championship, like now this year is like qualification for Olympic Games and World Cup. So all summer you're actually also like working, not resting. So those like 1 week, 2 weeks when you get off, I don't like to think about basketball, just to reset my mind a little bit.
And do you like watch basketball on TV?
I do, like I like to watch like my ex teams, how they doing, you know, even like Slovenian teams especially, I like to watch them, but otherwise not really.
And when it comes, okay, you said that you don't know why you produce so much athletes, but when it comes to the basketball, what is the main focus the coach train focus when they are training young kids in Slovenia? Because up to like I see the trend that many Slovenian players like stay in the country till 15, 16 years old and then move to, for example, to Spain or to Italy. Also Bokin Akbar said this is trend. And I'm wondering why you produce so much basketball players despite not having a good league, because okay, in Slovenia we have CDTVita Olimpia and that plays in Eurocup. But you know, many years ago, I also remember Krka played in EuroLeague. There was more stronger teams, and right now, a part of CDTVita Olimpia, the Slovenian teams cannot compare like to the, I don't know, maybe even to Polish teams.
Yeah, Slovenia is just like CIT Olimpia. It's like the highest level, and then it's like Krka still, but they're not playing like they're playing Adriatic League and Slovenian League, so it's not the same anymore. I don't know why, but yeah, I don't know. How is it possible? But yeah, I don't know. Maybe because young guys are leaving, you know, to go try to be like Luka. You know, Luka went with, I don't know, 14 something like that to Spain. So they're trying to do, you know, best maybe, because, and then you know when they made it out there, they just don't come back. You know, because also in Slovenia there's not basically there's not like good money in the league. So maybe that's why they're not coming back. You know, probably.
In your opinion, it's possible today to stay throughout the teenage years in Slovenia, start playing in senior level in Slovenia and still make a good European career, or the young players should go early, leave the Slovenia early?
It depends, you know, what one choose, but yeah, it's maybe it's a little bit harder because, you know, you need to go to some good team in Slovenia and it's like only Olimpia, and then if you're like coming from Slovenia, it's not, maybe you're not getting chance, you're never going to play. So again, you're not going to, no one going to see you, so it's really hard to go out again. Or, you know, if you go to Krka, you play Adriatic League, and then you need to play there good to go some other club in the region. And from there you to go like outside maybe.
You spent your teenage years in Slovenia, and you also during that time played in junior national teams. And I'm wondering how you remember this transition from the junior to senior level. It was easy for you to start playing against adult senior players?
Not actually, it's like it was a bit harder for me. I was like how I was like 18 years old when I go into like senior team, and you know I was like a little bit skinny, playing on five, fighting under the you know older guys, let's say, more physical than me. But yeah, it was like at the beginning it's always difficult. Maybe for me it was a little bit difficult, but you get used to it, you get stronger, you get used to everything, and then you become like normal and you know. If it become easier, then you can go.
Do you remember like the breakout moment, the one season that you took a big step when it comes to your form or your physicality, when you started feeling really like a senior player?
Yeah, that was like when I was like, I think 21, 22, when I played for Rogaška. There's like small town in Slovenia, but known for like their spas and everything. And we played. I played there for my coach, which had me for like when I was playing under 20 years in national team for the younger team. And he wanted me there. You know, he said he'll give me a chance and everything. So I went there, and we came to the finals of Slovenia National League. So it's like big deal for the club and for me. And then I went to like Krka, and from Krka, you know.
And do you agree, because when I look at your style of playing, that you are a old school type of center? Because you see now the trend that comes from NBA, that the center should shooting a three. And like I look at your stats, there's blank space when it comes to the three pointers. Like you didn't score for distance. And now is the trend that the center like or should be like Jokic or like Anthony Towns. And you like the old school type who likes to setting screens, contact under the rim, etc. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, maybe I'm little. Yeah, still like maybe I was born like 10 years too late.
Yeah.
My style of playing, but still, you know, still need a strong guy under basket who will make screen that other guys will be open. Sacrifice myself, you know, my body for good of the team, and you know you cannot have like more than one Jokic in the world, so it's hard to compare with Jokic. Is one of the kind. But yeah, I think I'm like doing what I'm the best, making screen, fighting under basket, making shots under half decent. I can shoot for three, I did it, but you know, not my like top quality, so I'm not like, we have guys that shooting threes and the guys for, you know, fighting and doing other things.
And do you think maybe your work is sometimes underappreciated because there is no statistic like screens per game?
Yeah, of course, that's like main problem, because in statistic, you know, you cannot see everything, you know, it's like Igor Kokoschko said, it's like a bikini, you know, you see it a lot, but the most important parts you cannot see.
But you didn't like worry about this because, yeah, that you didn't grade, you didn't have like a stats like, I don't know, 15 points, 15 rebounds per game, etc. Like, always, like, when we're looking at your stats and looking at your game, it's like two separate things. When somebody, if somebody doesn't see you in the game and looking at the stats, it's much different player when we see you on the court.
Yeah, of course, I'm doing like the dirty work, or how they say, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
You don't see it, but, you know, coaches see it, and the people, they know about basketball, they see it, and, you know, they appreciate it, so that's why I'm, like, also here, and feeling fine, and then also when I get a chance, I take my chance to score and do the stuff that is shown on the statistic.
And how you remember your move outside Slovenia first time to Germany for a short while, and later to Lithuania?
Yes, it's actually a good experience. I like Germany there, but you know, I was just only there for like a couple of months because the other big guy was injured, so they just I was just feeling up for him. But after that, it's like, right away, I get the offer from Lithuania to for Lietkabelis, and it was also like nice experience. Also, Lithuania, so like basketball there is very popular, and you know, it was good for there. Like, but yeah, I liked it there. You know, it was nice. Also, like here, like cold, a lot of snow, and you know, gray winters.
And when we're talking about national team, because you move through this all these steps, like in the under 16, 18, 20, so you were considered as a quite a prospect, good prospect. And when you finally, laughing, when you finally receive a call up for the first team, it was when Kokoschkov was the coach. Yeah,
yes.
2016.
Yes, for the qualification for
Europe. Yeah, how you feel and how you remember like the first trainings? Do you feel like the pressure, stress that you played with some, you know, great names.
Yeah, okay. I remember still like when he called me, you know, to just to check on me and how I'm doing and let me know that I'm in the roster. I was like really like happy, amazing, you know, because when you're like young, you always want to, you're always dreaming to play for the national team, you know. It's like big accomplish for you. And I know, I still remember like first practice, you know, I was like fighting with Gapi, you know, Widmar. He's like, was like strong guy, you know, experience. I like him very much. We're still like talking to each other, but yeah, it's nice. I didn't know what to expect, so, but it was nice. Yeah, different than, you know, before.
And when are we talking about?
Actually, my first call was for national team. I was like, when I was practicing with national team was 1 year before, when I think Judas Dodds was still the coach, but I was like, I didn't make it to the final 12. I was like the last one who like cut off. So,
and it's interesting that you mentioned Zdovt, because I look at the history of the results of the Slovenian team, and there was like the generation of Zdovt, then was Gorenc, then later was Bostian Nachbar, Erasm Lobrek, Jakalakovic, etc. Then they moved to the Dragic, now to Doncic, and I thinking. Really, it was at some moment, it was maybe the good luck of generation, or what happened that the Slovenian national team started making good results, because it was 2009, there was a fourth place, I remember, Lobrek played a good tournament there. And later it started, you know, and from Kokoškov, you are now considered as a top team in the world.
Yeah, it's true. Like we had also had like good basketball players, you know, a lot of them were playing on the high level, NBA, Euroleague, you know, so. But also, like, obviously we were missing, like, a little bit to become, like, a little bit, you know, to come to the, you know, more one step, like we did it in 2017. I don't know why, but yeah, maybe with Kokoško mentality or something changed, and we start to play maybe a little bit different, think a little bit different, and, you know, now things are, I think, good.
And how Kokoškov was as a coach?
I know he was, he's long a time ago, but you know, he's a good coach. He was like very like, you know, strict, like he want to have the things done, and he was very like, I don't know how to say. I think good coach, you know, like we started like slowly, you know, everything, and then he built up and he make you, you know, he was good also like mentally preparing you for the games and everything, and just to, he was trying to get the best out of you, so. Yeah, and also in the, he like did on the games, you know, he played the players that he thought that would be best fit for the, you know, to be the next team. It didn't matter who was it, just, you know, like he didn't care about the name, but just the player and his quality and what he can do to make it better.
And were you surprised when he became a first European coach in NBA, head coach?
No, basically when you know work hard and you follow your dream, you know, it's not surprising, you know.
And so when you now looking at that tournament, what was the keys to success in 2017?
We know who are the back then, the Goran was our like main guy, the leader, and everybody were like following him, and also we played like as a team, and we didn't care about, you know, the stats, who will score how much, who will do, just, you know, do your job the best you can and help the team to be the best. So I think that was the like one of the main reasons.
And it's, do you see a difference when it comes to the approach to the volleyball, to basketball, and to like the games, be when it comes to the players from Europe and from NBA? Because, you know, there is like a stereotype that these guys from NBA like is like the stars who just, you know, coming only in the summer, do they, you know, a few games and bring all the attention. But during like the season, the European guys doing a main job, because they coming to the, for example, the windows of the qualification. And what about the Slovenia teams? Do you see a difference between the NBA players and non-NBA players when it comes to work in the group?
Of course, there's more attention on the NBA players, but, you know, like our NBA players, you know, Luka, Čančar, they're like very normal guys, you know, they don't seek for attention or something. They're just like normal. They want to just to hang out with us and, you know, be normal. But yeah, like during few windows, they cannot come to play. But also for Slovenia, this is like difficult because Slovenia don't have a lot of players to choose from. So every player that doesn't come for the FIBA window, it's like difficult for, you know, to get a win. And for Slovenia, it's much better that we play like qualification everything during the summer.
Yes,
when
yes.
Everyone can come and that's it.
Yes, maybe. I don't. I always wondering about the Polish team because now we have only one player in NBA, Sochan. But in recent years, he doesn't play. And Igor Milicic used only the players from Europe. And I was wondering if this may be an advantage to a Polish team because almost every player was at the, you know, the during the season windows.
Yeah, for sure it's gonna be better, especially in the field break. You have like just a couple of days to for practice and then you have games, so it's easier if the players already know each other and they can play and know how, what to expect from each other. It's a lot easier for, it's advantage, yeah. And also for the when it comes to the summer, it's also they know each other already, so it's easier for the, you know, beginning of the part for the preseason and also for the games, you know. You also just like 1 month and then you have to go play.
When I was preparing for interview, first like my first thing I told to myself is to not ask you about Luka Doncic, because I know that you are asked so much about how he was, but I have a quote, I remember a quote when I spoke with Coach Sekulic, and I always, we were thinking about, you know, we were talking about Luka obviously. And he said that the biggest challenge is not to use Luka 100% of his potential, but is for him is biggest challenge is to make other players play as a similar level as him, because no matter how great shape he Luka is, no matter how good he played, he doesn't win a game single solo. And also the second thing he said, that this advantage about Luka, that he came to this team when he wasn't a star, that he, because he was a junior, Sekulic knows him from the junior national teams. And do you agree with that? That there is like, maybe that's the reason that you have a humble team, humble players, because there is no star, because all these players started playing in national team before they became famous?
Yeah, I think so. I agree with him. You know, Luka came when he was like for the senior team when he was like 17, 18, yeah, yeah. Something like that. So he was still like in development. And also the guys are we playing now in the national team, we played against each other when we were like younger and played together in the younger days. So we know each other from then and from there, back there. So it's, yeah, maybe that's why we're more like maybe more connected or something, you know. We know each other like very well, you know, spending every summer and during the season together. So yeah, maybe that's why.
And what changed in national team since Sekulic came?
Like change, probably not much, you know. It's still like the same, you know, but just like now it's not more, now it's not Goran the star, now it's like first player, now it's Luka, and we're helping Luka to he play well and that we play well, that we can win, you know, as a team.
But as the Olympics, Edo Muric was the captain. I was always, I have friends who their knowledge about Slovenia basketball is only Dragic and Doncic. And he was asking me, who this guy is captain of the team? Because they know, they don't know Edo Muric. Even in, he played in Poland for a few months in 2018. But I was, does really Muric has like the captain attributes?
Or? Yeah, he's like very like guy, he want to, you know, he's good with everyone, you know. He's, I think he played the most games in national team almost, so yeah, it's kind of makes sense, you know. He's like also like one of the oldest guy, played the most games, everything, so yeah. And also like a bit like he loves to speak, so as a captain, you know, to make team together when the times are tough, so yeah.
And how you remember this? How you remember this 2021 season when you fighting, for example, against Poland for a qualification spot, and later there was this great tournament. What was like your biggest weapon, biggest thing that makes you through this all phases into the top four of the Olympic tournament?
I don't know. But I know. Like every game, some other guy was like hot, or we just using that like in against Lithuania. I think Blažić was hot; he was making threes, so we were fighting him. And then Luka also like, yeah, he was also hot. So and also like fighting. I remember that one time I was like out and Toby was out, and then Edo was fighting with Valančiūnas under the basket, you know, and you know everybody were fighting. We all believed, you know, we will do it, and we like stick to the plan, game plan, and everybody were fighting, you know, doesn't matter, I don't score, just my guy will not score, he will not get rebound, and that was it.
Does your responsibilities on the court change between club and the national team? Do you think you have other different tasks to do on the court when you're playing for the national team than when you're playing for the club?
Yes, my roles here and in the national team are like not really the same. In national team, I'm just like coming in to, you know, be tough, to hit somebody, make like good, you know, like, yeah, like skin, to rest Toby a little bit and to make the, you know, if somebody is like hitting Luka, to hit him back, that stop or something like that. But, you know, I accept my role, you know, to fight on the basket, to lock up the paint, and that's it, you know. I accept my role and...
So you are a bodyguard?
Like that, yeah, so, some way.
And it's interesting that you mentioned Toby, because Slovenia is one of the rare teams in the world, top teams in the world, that use this spot for foreigner players for a center. Because Randolph or Toby, they're with centers. When you look, for example, the most national teams, they use this spot for the guards. Like, for example, in Poland, we use for AJ Slaughter. Spain used this spot for Lorenzo Brown, etc. There was like in Georgia, in Bulgaria, the Bost, etc., etc. And when I spoke about this with Sekulic, first of all, he isn't a fan of this giving this one spot, but he said it's like playing poker when rivals has one more card. But when I asked him why he used this spot for a center, he said because in Slovenia is a lack of physical, big, strong players. And when I speak with you, the center, the guy that is playing at the same position as them, are you a little bit worried that, okay, I have to play at the same position as naturalized player? Because in theory, when they signing this player, they don't signing to be a rotation player, signing to be a starter.
Yeah, no. In Slovenia, there's a lack of the big guys, you know, so like, we don't have many options, but then on point guard you have Luka, so, and we have a lot of guards, so it doesn't make sense to not use a guard, so. I'm only like one of the rare big guys, you know, it's going to be like tougher for a national team to like get some good results. So it makes sense to bring a big guy also if you don't play as much as you would, but still, you know, still you want to, then at the end doesn't matter if you play a lot or not, if you like won some medals, you go to Olympics, you know, that's what on the end will go, you know.
So you are able to put a little bit of your ambitions, to your minutes of the court, sacrifice this minutes for a medal?
Yes, of course. It's like, it's basically, you know, you have to do what's the best for the team. It's like, okay, I'm going to play less, and that someone else is going to play, maybe, and he got good games, you know, so be it, no.
And how does naturalized player adapt to the teams? Is it like, do you see a big difference? Okay, they are living their own way, because they're not speaking your language.
No, but we accepted him, which is like he's one of us. When he's like around, we speak English, so it's not a problem. And also he's like learning a little bit Slovenian all the time. So, and also now he's playing in Serbian, so he will like learn a little bit Serbian, so it will be easier for him to understand us.
I have to ask you about 2022 and this game against Poland, because I must confess, I remember very losses against Slovenia, but this one win in the quarterfinals is one of the, you know, most amazing games of Polish national team I watched in my life. And when I think about these games, I still have goosebumps. And when you thinking about this game, I know that you are not happy about this, but there was even some rumors that maybe Doncic party day before. And when you were thinking about this game, how you remember this game?
I remember, okay, you know, it's like first quarterfinals, you know, just one game. We had like, we didn't play our best game, you know, didn't start good. And, you know, that's maybe when Paul got hot, it's easier. And also like, you know, it happens, like have a bad day. Maybe out of next three games we would win, but you know, it's just one game that is important. And Poland played like really good game that day, and they were better at the moment, so they deserve to win.
And you were surprised how good Poland played at this tournament, because even in Poland, not many people expected such a good result.
But when people don't expect someone to do good, or they like, they're just like, let's say, thinking, okay, they're not so good enough to be, you know, that's when the teams usually surprise everybody, like, okay, we will show them to, yes, we can do better, we're practicing all day, every day, so we will show them that we can do, and they did it, so they deserve it.
And do you remember the time when you signed for the first time in Włocławek, the circumstances of your move to Poland? What happened? Yeah, how this move to Poland came to the fruition?
Yeah, I was playing in Olympia back then. So, but I didn't play as much as I wanted to play. So, I was start to looking for another options, you know, that I could play to show myself that I can do it. And then, yeah, I came here and I showed that I can.
And what you know? What you knew about Poland and Polish league back then?
I just, for the start, I just know it's going to be tough, you know, they're going to play physical, and yeah, that's all that I knew.
So you didn't...
I didn't know, like, much, but I was, like, looking, like, forward to, like, a new experience, new chapter, and yeah.
So you didn't talk about this move to anybody from Slovenia? You didn't contact anybody?
No, I was just, like, looking what was the moment best option for me. I was, I don't care what anyone else is going to say, okay, maybe points is that, no. I need to go, I need to play, I need to show myself that I can, because the last season I didn't play as much as I wanted to, so if I might have like my career to go up, I need to change something, and I did.
But there is a lot of Slovenian players in history, in Polish league. I was doing research at night, and I was like researching all the players, and even in Anvil there was coaches. Urlep, Aleš Pipan, who is like respected very well in Slovenia. There's also Goran Jagodnik. There's also Stipe Modric, one of the Zagorac brothers.
Sasha probably.
Sasha played in Trev.
Yeah.
Yes, there was like many players from Slovenia, and now do you remember how you adapted? It was easy for you to adapt, like to Polish league, to living in Poland, in Wrocławek, because it's also a very interesting thing, because you have family, you have two kids, so I suppose it's not easy to like move from one country to another with two kids.
Yeah, but the adaptation for me is like not like hard, because it's still in Europe, still like similar to our country, everything, so. Except, okay, better, it's a bit different. But otherwise, no, it's the same. But yeah, my kids actually are right now in Slovenia, because for school, the oldest is going to school. So when I was in Turkey, they weren't with me either, because there was no like international school. So we didn't want to put him in like Turkish school, to he need to learn Turkish and everything. So we didn't want to complicate his life a little bit more. So because of that, it's like easier for me to just move by myself, but it's tough because I'm not with them, right now. And
so you are now here alone.
Yeah, but they come to visit, or when I have like time, I go home. But in between time, it's a little bit tougher, but at least we have like those, video calls and everything. So it's a little bit,
And they were with you in Japan?
Yeah, but they were with me over there. There was like, they love it here. They like it over there. There was like very nice, international school, everything, very like organized everything. So.
And it was easy for you too, to play and live in Japan, because it's such a different culture than.
Actually, it was like for the first like month or something, so it was like a little bit strange, because it's also like different world, different culture, like let's say different world. It's different culture, so we need like 1 month or something like to adapt, to get used to it, for their like traditions, everything, what they're doing, it's. But after a while, when you get used to it, it's nice, and maybe, someday we'll go again.
And it's, how would you describe the Japanese basketball? Because I know many stories about Japanese volleyball league, but I don't know, I never spoke with anybody who played in Japan in the basketball, so I'm wondering, because I heard the stories from volleyball players about this tough, weird trainings that they were training for like few hours, and the Japanese player didn't want to stop the training, etc. There was like this work ethic, and when you think about your time in Japan, what you remember about the basketball, their basketball?
I don't. It's a lot of depends on the coach. Who's the coach? We had like some Japanese coach, and it was like, I don't know. It's different tactic, you know, because in Japan they don't know about tactic as much as we do here. So this was a little bit different, and also every, you know, they call it import guy. It's a big guy, you know. So actually, I was like fighting under basket with some other who's like same as me over there. So a lot of people say, "How are you playing in Japan? They're all short." Yeah, but foreign guys are not short. They're also big and fighting with me. So for me, that's changed nothing. Like I'm playing here or there, you know. For me, it was the same. But yeah, it's you have like two games, like Saturday, Sunday, and then sometimes also Wednesday. So like Saturday, Sunday, and Wednesday games. So it's a lot of games, you play more than 60 games, and but our practices were not that hard. It was like more like normal practice, not like you described, so thank God.
But is it true that, for example, in Japan, when you are imported players, you earn a good money, but they expect much more from you than from the domestic players?
Yeah, of course. They bring you there to make the team better, and you need to give them that, you know. But the most they see is points, you know, and a lot of times they don't see, you know, the work like I put in, you know, to make that some other guy to score, you know. But you know, we were getting there, you know. I was there like, yeah, I had like good season over there, and also like they liked me there, you know. They also like, you know, that you're like not like showing off or something, and just to be like normal guy to support them, teach them something, and that's it.
And I wondered how your wife reacted like to this lifestyle, because it's lifestyle of the basketball players. You as a player, you know, you have training, you have travel to games, you are not rarely at home. Even here. And she has to like, raise the kids, etc., etc. And do you even, how hard is for you to combine, being a professional player, to stay, you know, professional, to be the best version of basketball player of yourself you can be, and with being a good husband and good father to kids?
It's difficult, you know, especially now when we're like apart, but yeah, now it's the most work for my family, it's doing my wife, you know. So she's in the morning, she need to take kids to school, kindergarten, and then she got her own work to do. So then in between, she's doing her own work, and after that, you know, she need to pick them up. If they're going to some, you know, activities after school or something, she take them there, and yeah, it's a lot on her plate. But some sacrifices she needs to do for a couple of years, and when I stop playing, you know, it will be my turn.
And do you have a plan what you would like to do after retirement?
No, I don't. I haven't think about that. I'm hoping that I have like a couple of more years, like at least 5 years until I start thinking about that. So,
but do you see yourself as a coach?
I don't know. Sometimes yes, sometimes no, because sometimes okay, I would not have like nerves to for some players. Maybe I would just get mad too much. I don't know.
Because when I spoke with players, many times they said, active players, even at the top level, that they don't want to be a coach because it's like living the same life as a player, because you're also always traveling, distance from home. But you can be fired much quickly, because you know it's easier to fire a coach than to fire, you know, 12 players. And so when you are a player, you only are responsible for yourself. And when you are a coach, you are responsible for 12 players or 14 players. What do you think about this?
Yeah, it's true. Yeah. When you coach, you have like responsibility for whole team. And if you start to losing games, the first on the line is you, so this was not a fun thing.
And when we talk about Anvil, once again, how would you describe Coach Fasunkevich for like people who doesn't he doesn't know him or he doesn't follow Anvil?
I'll describe him. He's like doing a very good job now. He's here like for like 30 years now, so he's doing something right, and he's also like good with the players. You give you like freedom during he's got his own system, but in the system you got like with your freedom what you can do, and he just want from every player to do his role in the team, but he's doing the best, and that's it. And also he's with also doing the practices, you know, with doing the things we do, we are going to do in the game, not some like weird stuff that some coaches are doing, you know, to run some more than need to be or do some crazy drills, just like normal, like human coach.
But sometimes when we watch him on the press conference or during the games, he seems like the cold guy. But how he is like behind the cameras during the practice or after practice?
Yeah, I don't know. When I was like first coming here, also like when saw photo something, I was like, okay, maybe. But then when you get to know him, you know, it's like really his opposite of that. So it's like really nice, fun guy, you know, everything, you know.
And I know that he's focusing a lot of defense. That he, this is one of his key things, that he likes to play defense a lot. And how you feel in his style? Do you like his way of coaching, his philosophy of coaching?
Yeah, a lot of coaches I was working before also like was focusing on defense, you know, because if you're not, you know, you have bad day in offense, you still can play defense, you know, you cannot have like bad day in defense, you know, it's just like your will and, you know, that you follow the rules and that's it, you know.
In football, I heard the quote that the offense, the strikers brings you fans, brings you tickets, and the defense brings you titles.
Yeah, if defense doesn't get the goal, you know, and those strikers score like one goal, it's enough, you know, but if strikers score like one goal and you still receive two goals, it doesn't matter.
And how you feel, because, for example, I think Kamil Łączyński, you played before with Kamil Łączyński, yes, with Luke Petrasek.
Yes.
And how important for you and how easy or hard for you is to make a good connection with the point guard? Because when we see we talk at the beginning about your style of playing, that you are setting a lot of screens for them. So that requires a good connection between the center and the point guard. And is it easy for you to like make this big chemistry on the court with the players?
You know, maybe the beginning was a little bit difficult for because it was like first time when you started. But not now, it's like, you know, you get used to it. And also, Kamil, I already know him now, so for me it's a lot easier. And we also already done like a good job cooperating, and now I think it's gonna be the same when he will come back. I hope so.
And what is your like general opinion about Polish league?
Actually, it's a Polish league. It's like a good league, like very tough. Good. I don't know. You have like teams that play competing in EuroCup. You have Champions League, FIBA EuroCup. Anvil like won last year FIBA EuroCup.
Yeah.
So you know, it's like good league, you know, because also good teams are competing in Europe. So.
But you know, when we talk about, for example, EuroCup, we have like Śląsk Wrocław, but they struggle another season. Like they have like one win per season, two wins per season. One they got advanced into the next phase, but it was because the Krasnodar was cut because of the war. But I remember when I was a kid, there was a, for example, Sopot, Gdynia teams that played in EuroLeague, or Zgorzelec, Zielona Góra, back to back in EuroLeague. Now, when you have like this closed EuroLeague, for me, it's sometimes a little bit tough to watch. Yeah, this all the teams like from Lithuania, Alba Berlin, playing in EuroLeague, and we cannot compare to EuroCup. Do in your opinion, it's only about the money in that case, that we cannot compare to like in EuroCup or the even in Champions League, Polish clubs cannot go through the group phase?
I don't know, it's hard to say, but also this year's Olympia, it's also struggling in EuroCup.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
When I was there, we were like in the spot for we were like in quarterfinals. So I don't know, it changed, you know, it can be, you know, sometimes, yeah, it's difficult, you know, especially if it's like going from year to year, it's hard to watch, but I don't know why, maybe, I don't know why, but because you have teams that have like less money and still like do like good result. I don't know why, but maybe.
But in your opinion, Olimpia could fight in Poland for a championship?
Yeah, they have enough Polish guys. Yeah, I think they could, yeah, for sure.
And the other teams like Krka or Domžale or
maybe Krka would still like be inside, but that and I don't think the other teams gonna be like able. Also, Krka will be struggling also because they're not used to us to play as physical because okay, they have more like I don't know light guys.
So like the Slovenian league has a different style of playing.
Yeah, a little bit different. Yeah, also it's less teams than here. So and also they maybe some players are like maybe. I don't know, not so experienced yet, and maybe that's why.
And do you remember, like, do you have one name in your mind of Polish player that, from other teams, that, like, I don't want to be hard, but, for example, kick your ass, or, like, gives you a strong, tough rivality? Do you have, like, one rival that, oh, I have to play another time against him, that really you don't like playing against him because he is a tough player?
Oh, I don't know. I don't actually I don't remember if I have some. No, I don't think so right now. Nothing came to my mind, so I don't know.
And when you could talk about general Polish players and the national team or the league, the best player that comes to your mind, in your opinion?
The best Polish?
Yes. Kamil Łączyński, of course.
Kamil, yes, of course. Szymon, but he's retired now.
Yes. So. But I thought we may say Ponitka.
Ponitka, yeah.
Or Balcerowski, now we have in Panathinaikos, good guy. But you don't know him.
Yeah, I know him. I played against him. He was playing also in a short time in Mega.
Mega Basket, even, yeah.
Yeah, so I played against him there, and he also played in the national team. He played in the national team also.
Eurobasket, I think. Yes. And do you think you reach your prime? Or maybe you are after your prime or before your prime? Because you are 31, it will be this year 31.
Maybe, so I still have a lot of time to be 31. I don't know, I don't think I've reached my prime yet. I think I'm going to be in my prime now. Maybe I'll just like develop it a bit later, you know, because I hope so, no? I need to hope like that.
But do you see a big improvement if you're in your game from like when you compare to yourself from 5-3 years?
Yeah, of course, it's like different game now. Maybe I think different. I don't, you know, especially like during my beginnings, I was also like doing a lot of like offense fouls and maybe on screen. Maybe now I'm doing less of that stuff and. Maybe I know the game a little bit more now, and maybe I don't like hurry so much and making now maybe better decisions than I used to do. So.
And I'm wondering, because you said before that you watching games, but you watching games of your former teams.
Actually, basically most of the Slovenian teams, and when EuroLeague comes to the finals, I watch those. But before that, I don't like to bring work to home.
Yeah, that's my that's my question. That's you prefer EuroLeague or NBA?
Of course, EuroLeague or European, any European league in the NBA. I don't know why I just cannot watch NBA.
Because, I heard many coaches said to me that, I don't know if you heard about Gündas Vetra. He was the first Latvian in NBA. He played in CSKA for many years. He was a coach in Poland in of a women team. And he said that he told his players that you should watch main EuroLeague. Because when you want to know more about basketball, in tactics, in basketball, you don't watch NBA, because NBA is all about, you know, individual players who making a great show and shooting threes from distance. When you want to develop yourself as a player, you should watch EuroLeague. And
yeah, I agree with that, because NBA does much like a one-on-one and like crazy passes, some dunkings, and that's it, you know. Also, you have different rules, you know, the paint is always empty, you know, that guys can beat them, and, you know, have they can score more points. And so it's like when you watch them playing like just running or just one on one, and that's it. Not really. They're just like great athletes and you know good shooters there. And
I remember when Luka came to the NBA, he shocked the entire, you know, American opinion when he said that it's easier to score in NBA than in EuroLeague. And everyone was like, what this kid is talking about? He is crazy. But when I spoke with like even Bostian or Javon Evans, who played recently for Śląsk, everybody's saying it's much, much tougher in Europe to score.
Yeah, everybody's saying that it's easier to score in NBA. You know, just the way of playing and preparing and probably for the game and the taxes here. Like, and I don't know about NBA, but here teams are more like also focused on defense, how to stop some things, you know, how don't let somebody to score. If somebody's scoring 30, no, we will not let him score 30, you know, he will score less than against us. So also that, yeah.
And you now when we don't have Slovenia team in EuroLeague, you have like your favorite team
in EuroLeague? Not really. I just like
or maybe watch, like, players or the coaches that you like to watch.
I just right now I just watching just you know good teams, you know, to play, you know, two good games. I just want to watch good games right now, you know. I don't have like really my best. Maybe Toby and Summer, they're playing in the EuroLeague. Maybe those two are my.
Did you watch Anvil game this season before signing contract?
I watch this year, actually, not really. I just followed how they're doing in. Because I'm following on Instagram and everything, so it's not the, yeah. You know, the games. I didn't watch games, just results. And I watched also when they were playing in the finals so last year, I watched that game. So I was in Japan. I was like already in the. I have to like forward back to watch it, but I did it. You know, I guess it was mid of the night.
So we are still like, if you still have something like supporters' feelings in you, when, even when you are not playing for the club, like you said, when Anvil, you still are Anvil fan.
Yeah, like, of course. I was playing there. I left my my time myself. I was helping the club, so I want them to do good. You know, still when I left, leave. You know, I still want them the best. You know, for every club I played for.
And now after you came back, you played two games in two games. But after this will be published, you will play, for example, three or four. I don't know, but never mind. Now when you are seeing from inside, and what in your opinion makes Anvil so good this season that they are on the top place, they only get lose one on lose?
I think the players here are like really good guys, and we also have like 12 players that can rotate and play. So I think that's like our biggest strategy. Like we have like long bench to, you know, a lot of good players that can step in and show up in any moment. So that's really like good to have. And also we like playing defense and playing tough. We have like also like tall players, so it's difficult to pass sometimes or something. So yeah.
And coming to the end, what we can expect from the Slovenian national team this season? Because there's no like new face who just instantly became a starter of the team. You have like the team that plays with themselves for many years, like with, okay, there is not Dragic, but there is a Doncic, there is a Čančar, Prepelic.
Čančar is, I think, it's still injured, you know. After I don't know he will play, and also Muric he's still injured, you know. He's
so you don't think injured. They will?
I don't know Muric probably, but he will not play for whole season, so you don't know in what kind of shape he will be. And also Čančar injured himself like last summer in. A friendly game against Greece, so again he's like recovered like for 1 year, and it's still not gonna be tough. So for us, without two, like also in the World Cup was like tough without them, but you know we showed that we can play. Also the young guys that were there, they did their job, and you know hoping for the best for this time.
And you see like the young players, Slovenian players, who in your opinion can become next big star of the Slovenian basket?
I don't know. For I think for the a long time will be Luka.
So no, but
you will ask him. You need to ask somebody else. You know, after a couple of years, who do you think?
So there's no like young players, junior who like next Luka Doncic, for example. You don't see.
There's like only one Michael Jordan, only one Luka Doncic, only one Jokic. So the next one should, will need will be his own. You know.
And only one Giga Dimitz. Maybe it's a question not related so much to the basketball and your career, but when you think about your long career, I don't know if you reach, you are closer to retirement or closer to you know, beginning of your career, but a part of this, what is the biggest lessons the basketball career gave you?
The biggest lesson, no. Nothing. Just not. I was just like, you know, that you need to, you know, work hard if you want to accomplish something, and you know, need to be dedicated to your work. You know, like show every time, every day. It's a lot of sacrifices, but in the end, you know, brings results.
And if you had the chance to speak with like the younger version of Giga, who just received the first call up to the national team, what advice you would give to him?
Stay in school. kidding. I don't know. Just you know, be yourself, do the best you can, and don't get mad if like things don't go your way, because. You know, if you will work hard and you should be focused on your goal, you know, and in the end, everything is going to work out.
And a part of staying healthy to you, to your family, what I can wish to you?
Nothing else, you know, the health is the only thing that matters at the end, you know, if you don't have health, you don't have nothing.
Okay, Giga, so big thanks for having time for me. Big thanks for joining my podcast. It's a great pleasure that I had the chance to speak with you. Talk not only about Luka Doncic. And I wish you all the best and in this season and it's in national team season, because we Poland and Slovenia played in different Olympic tournaments, so
yeah, you're lucky this year, huh?
After you know Kaunas tournament, I like the fact that we don't play the same tournament, so big thanks and I wish you all the best.
Thank you.